The reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. I tell you, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus had just had a dispute with the Pharisees. They were angry with Jesus because he healed a blind man on the Jewish Sabbath day. Pharisees were actually good, decent people, but they had this little fetish, as it were, and that they wanted everyone to follow every details of the religious laws and traditions. And this caused them to show contempt for everyone. And Jesus often had run-ins with them, and he called them hypocrites, and he despised their hypocrisy and their self-righteousness. He considered them spiritually blind shepherds who were leading people of God. And hence in verse 1 he says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen or the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and robber." Now, what did he mean by that? Well, Israel was a very agricultural society, and one of the main occupations was the rearing of sheep for wool, their hide, and their meat. Sheep needed to be protected against robbers and animals like leopards and bears until these became extinct. And also wolves and hyenas and jackals, they need to be guarded not only when they are in the open country, but even when they are inside the sheepfold. So let's find out a little bit about this sheepfold that they have. There are two types where sheep are placed at night. There was a simple improvised pen the shepherd made when he was traveling away from home. It is a temporary enclosure made of stone or thorny bushes. And the shepherd would guard the sheep by sleeping with them or by lying across the front or the entrance to the sheepfold, and therefore becoming the gate of the sheep pen. There were the more permanent and larger structures. This could be a low-lying building looking up into the sky. Alternatively, they made a open enclosure, open to the sky that is, and attach it next to a building. Now, in this larger and more permanent sheepfold, there would be a number of different flocks of sheep belonging to different shepherds and allowed to mix. And therefore, the entrance would be guarded by a gatekeeper. Nonetheless, while animals and robbers still attempt to climb over the wall and get into the fold, and shepherds need to be vigilant, although Jesus said in verse 1, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and robber. What does this mean for us spiritually? Well, he's plainly saying something very, very bluntly. He's making the claim that he is the true shepherd, and there's such a thing as a right path and wrong paths. There's a true shepherd and there are false shepherds. There is a right way and wrong way. And he is saying, trust only me. And in John 14:6, he says this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Verse 2, the one who enters the gate of the sheep. Clearly, the watchman of the gatekeeper would only allow the shepherds who owned a sheep in the to enter. Now it is quite astonishing that Jesus should describe himself as the good shepherd. Because a shepherd's work was considered a lowly job, nevertheless, people respected the care and the attention that showed towards their sheep. Sheep wander and place themselves in danger. They are defenseless against wild animals and robbers and the wild elements. The shepherd, the good shepherd, gives them shelter. He protects them, keeps them with food and water. He cares for their welfare. He tends to their wounds. How apt it is that the prophet Isaiah says this: God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers them in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Jesus wants to convey to us that God is this loving and caring God who loves us. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. There are two things to note here. Firstly, the sheep listen to the voice of their shepherd. Now, in a sheep containing several flocks, shepherds must be able to enter and be able to separate their own sheep from the others. And what they do is that they enter the fold and they use a certain call with their voice, and then the sheep up, and after a general scramble, they go to the right shepherd. A person's voice is almost like a fingerprint. It is unique. When we listen to the phone, we think someone's voice is similar to the brother or the sister or whatever. But each person's voice is very unique when they are examined scientifically. And the sheep will not recognize any other shepherd using the same call because they do not have their voice. The sheep can recognize the voice of their shepherd. And here's a clear warning to Christians to distinguish Jesus' voice from us. We must study God's word carefully so that we can distinguish between the voices of false guides and the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So don't just trust what I say because I said it from the front, or trust even what the vicar says, our vicar. You must examine the Bible yourself and decide whether we voice God's word and you hear his voice rather than ours. Secondly, the shepherd calls his sheep by name. The palace shepherd delights to give names to certain of his sheep. And if the sheep, the flock is not too big, he will give names to all his flocks. He may name them by certain individual characteristics, like or stripe or greedy, or refer them to some incident where they might have hurt themselves somewhere by a pond and they might be given a certain affectionate name. And shepherds usually count the sheep into the fold, but they don't always do it. Apparently, good shepherds can actually feel the absence of any of their sheep. And with one sheep gone, they would just look at the flock and sense that something is wrong. Just by the of the entire flock, a certain Lieutenant Colonel Dixon, a British administrator, visited the desert Arabs, and he witnessed something astonishing. One evening, shortly after dark, an Arab shepherd called up one by one the names of 51 of his mother sheep, and he was able to each lamb to put to suckle with the mother. Okay, to do this in the light would be a great feat, but to do this in darkness, putting the lamb with the ewes amidst all the noise and all the chaos and all the bleatings of the sheep, is incredible. What amazing knowledge some shepherds have of their sheep, and yet no shepherd ever more intimate knowledge of his sheep, of us, than Jesus, our shepherd God, who knows all those who belong to him. He knows you as Mark and not as Jekyll. and he's Annette. And there's only one Annette, even if there are hundreds of thousands in the world, but there's this Annette he knows. He has an intimate knowledge of each one of us. In verse 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 43, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Jesus calls us by our name. He knows us intimately. He knows all our ups and downs that you cannot share with someone even. You may feel all alone in your particular circumstances. He knows. He cares. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. So the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep. Unlike the Western shepherd, the Palestinian shepherd does not usually drive the flock. He leads them, often going before them. This does not mean that the shepherd always goes in front. He will be by the side to make sure they go the right path. And he could be at the back when he's driving them into the sheepfold so that there are no stragglers, so that there are no wild animals trying to capture the stragglers. The prophet Isaiah said the same thing about our omni-God in his relationship with his people. In Isaiah 52, he says this, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The Lord God of Israel will be your rear. So the Lord goes in front of us. He is behind us. He's on top of us, looking at us. And in Deuteronomy, it says that underneath are the everlasting arms of the Lord. And in the Psalms, it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord among his people. We are all encompassing to his attention. Our shepherd Jesus goes ahead of us in two senses. Firstly, he leads us in the right paths. I was in Israel ago, and it was hot. Much of it is parched, dry, and there's very little vegetation. Sheep are totally and absolutely and completely dependent on their shepherd for water, for food, for protection. In that kind of climate, they don't survive long without the shepherd. And how much we need our shepherd God, Jesus Christ, for our spiritual health and welfare. As our shepherd God, Jesus leads us in the right paths, the paths of righteousness. There can be no inner peace apart from following him and obeying him, the way of God. Most popular song in the world, maybe I did it my way, but God laughs and calls them fools, for only in following Christ is there eternal safety and security. Secondly, he has gone ahead of us in experiencing all our pains and all our tribulations. Qualitatively, that is. You may have a broken marriage. You may suffer the loss of loved ones. You may be facing cancer. You might be facing dementia. Met a group of people. Only a small group of people, two of them suffering from dementia, one from Parkinson's, and one has a disabled child who is an adult now, whom they still have to look. and other health problems. And at some point in our lives, we will face death. The darkness can be overwhelming. Yet in Hebrews chapter 4, we read this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way, and yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldly, so we receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." God has not promised us freedom from suffering. If there's one thing common to everyone, it is suffering, whether it's Christian or non-Christian. But He has promised with you and to hold your hands and to look after you like His own shepherd, His sheep. The Jesus who suffered on the cross suffers with you. There's no valley, however dark, that you go through alone. God is closer than you think. In Hebrews 13, we read this: "I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I would not be afraid." The clever thing, the only clever thing the sheep need to do is to follow their shepherd. The wisest thing for all to do is to follow our shepherd God, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Recognizing Jesus' voice. Many voices competing for attention in the newspaper, in the WhatsApp, in the media, in the television, in the radio. Every day you meet someone, you hear a different voice. How do we recognize Jesus' voice? Simon Roberts, the author, this way: "The fact is that every day people claim to have the truth about one thing or another. Everyone has a right to their own opinion. And Jesus taught us that we ought to love everyone, and his life showed clearly that God's purposes are not brought about by force, but by doing God's will. But Jesus was equally clear that he was the only one who could reconcile people to God. When it comes to our relationship with God, Jesus even said, 'Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.'" Not only did Jesus claim to have the truth, he claims to be the truth. In him is the embodiment of all truth, and in his teaching we discover reality. He claims that all other paths that lead people away, they are going the wrong direction. Either he's mad or bad in saying such things, or he is who he is, the eternal divine Son of God. Finally, verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees then, God had given great responsibilities over the centuries to leaders, to shepherds, religious leaders of Israel, but they failed to teach and obey God's word. And Jesus denounced these false leaders, whether they are priests, whether they are scribes, whether they are Pharisees, whether they are Sadducees, whether they are some leaders of some sort. What he warns us is still true today. Those who are Christians, watch out for anyone, whether vicar, bishop, or archbishop, who teach doctrines contrary to the scripture. Those who do so are false shepherds. To those who are not yet Christian, Jesus warns you to watch out for those who use spiritual and material alternatives to him. They will not work. So in conclusion, Jesus is our good shepherd. When you put your trust in him and follow him, you have this close relationship with him that lasts for all eternity. He graciously offers you his leadership. He leads you. He guides you. He protects you. He is constantly your company. He's your, he willingly cares for you. and he loves you with a sacrificial love. What more can you want? Why don't you turn to him today, right now? Jesus is the true shepherd. In John 4, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You will find in him the right way to live, the truths to live by. Some say you will find your true self when you look inside of yourself. Others say you will find your true self when you lose yourself in meditation or in some bigger cause. But Jesus says, I, life. In him you will find your true life, the purpose he made you for, and the meaning of your life. Why don't you turn to him today, right now? Amen.